Quick question. When was the last time that you actually looked at your website and thought, this is really working for me? If the answer is you're not sure, don't worry because you're not alone. Most therapists have a website, but they don't actually know what's helping it to convert, what might be confusing potential clients, and what might actually be turning people away. That's exactly why a website audit is so helpful because it can give you a clear outside perspective on what's actually happening when someone lands on your website. So I'm hosting a live website audit workshop April 17th, where I will walk you through what to look for, look at your website live, talk about what to fix, and how to make your website actually work for you. To learn more and sign up, head to the show notes to register. Now, onto the episode. You're listening to the Raise to Empower podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Comegys, a licensed clinical social worker with a multi-state online therapy practice. I have a passion for empowering women and mom therapists to break free of the fear, overwhelm, and oppressive systems that hold them back from taking action and building the private practice of their dreams. My goal is for you to boldly believe in yourself as a clinician and business owner. If you're looking for a place to learn practice building strategy and skill while also claiming your own power as a woman and a therapist, then you're in the right place. Welcome to the show. Welcome to this week's episode of the Raise to Empower podcast. In today's episode, my guests and I are going to be exploring a topic that I know so many of us are curious about, have questions about, and are really interested to learn more. And that's about coaching. Coaching in our field can sometimes be a taboo subject, so I'm really hoping today's episode can help to bring more clarity to the topic for you and maybe offer you some direction in considering this as an option for you. So my guest today is Carly Hill. Carly is an LCSW and business strategist for clinicians. She specializes in helping overworked female clinicians make more money and more impact by teaching them to build the online coaching business of their dreams. Carly helped clinicians break free of the one-to-one model to leverage their time, get paid for their knowledge, and live a life of true freedom. She helps clinicians to find their coaching niche, develop their high-ticket offer, and organically call in their ideal clients easily and effortlessly using her unique modern marketing master plan. Carly, welcome to today's show.
Thank you. It's been a long time coming, having a podcast day. So I am so excited to be here with you today.
Yes, I have to say a big thank you to Carly's flexibility. We've had to reschedule our episode multiple times due to family issues in the Comegys household with three kids, sicknesses, and all of that. So thank you so much your flexibility and your ability to reschedule with me. So thank you.
I hope it's worth the wait.
Yes. Yes. No, it is. It is. I'm really excited for us to get to chat today. So listeners of this show know whenever I have guests on, I always ask your origin story, kind of how did you become an LCSW? What led to you going down that path? And then I know coaching is a big part of your career as well now. So how did you kind of to say, I wanted to become a social worker and then venture into this other direction?
Yeah. So my mom is a social worker. That's where it kind of started. Kids were always my passion. So in college, I was majoring in early childhood education. I always wanted to be a teacher. I had a passion for the little ones. I always grew up babysitting. I just loved kids. And then I really wanted to do more than just teach. I was so fascinated by humans and the psychology of people's stories and what made them who they are. And my heart was just set on helping as many people as I could. So one thing led to another. Social work, it was, went off and did my undergrad and grad in social work. I worked in community mental health for a while. I did play therapy for a while. I did work with children and families. I mean, I had the high caseloads, traveling all over the county, 30 plus clients. I worked in brick and mortar 9 to 5. I had my own private practice and that was successful, but that's really what led me into my coaching journey was my own private practice and trading dollars for hours, wanting to have more freedom and flexibility, having a cap on my income, also just studying the online world and
Yeah.
seeing how many coaches were out there having awesome success, reaching and impacting so many more lives. And I was like, what do they know that we don't know? They didn't even go to school for this.
Yeah.
So I was a little salty, but I was also very curious
Yeah.
and started also taking business coaching programs to up my business acumen in my own private practice. And the combination of the two, I had a realization that I was actually coaching the whole entire time in my quote unquote private practice.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a therapist by trade and I had a private practice, so I thought I was doing therapy, but I was helping people with non-clinical, more situational, less severe problems. Wasn't taking insurance. It was coaching. And nobody really teaches us, I feel like, the definition between therapy and coaching. And so it was like all of these discoveries at the same time. You know, what is the difference between therapy and coaching? How can I do this ethically and legally and protect my license? I started speaking to attorneys, studying the online space, taking business coaching programs. What is the best business model to have a sustainable, scalable business where I can also impact lives without sacrificing the life that I love? And that's when I started creating curriculum and coaching programs myself. I was a woman empowerment coach. I love spirituality. I started teaching, you know, on how to use tarot and pendulum. And I had a course called The Woo World, an introductory into spirituality and manifestation trainings, et cetera, and really tapping into the one-to-many model instead of just trading dollars for hours. I'm a natural teacher at heart. I always wanted to be a teacher. I never thought I was going to be a teacher in this way, but it all makes sense. And so at first, I started also teaching therapists how to start and grow their private practice, but coaching became my true passion. And so then I started teaching therapists, you know, go big or go home. Private practice is great, but in addition, you can also have a curriculum and a coaching business and tap into the one-to-many model. And you can do speaking and you can write a book and you can do podcasting and all of these wonderful things. And so that's my heart and soul and baby and passion and focus now is teaching therapists how they can add coaching ethically, legally, protect their license, impact more lives, unapologetically make more money.
I think it's interesting. You're right that there isn't oftentimes this definition of like coaching versus therapy. So, like for you, as you've done this work, what do you see as the biggest difference between the two?
Super simple definition, because if you Google this, and maybe your listeners have, or you have, I mean, I sure did back in the day, and I was just even more confused. There's so many nuances and overlaps. So, really, what it boils down to is therapy is treating medical necessity. Textbook, DSM, you're treating medical necessity. Coaching is solving more situational, non-clinical, less severe problems. I think we can get weird sometimes about like, what are we actually like, quote unquote, doing? Am I doing therapy right now or am I doing coaching? And so you can use all of your clinical modalities in coaching. It's about the severity of the issue coming in. And are you treating medical necessity or not? Which defines the coaching or therapeutic relationship.
So I know one of the big questions that a lot of times comes up for people is like, well, what about the ethics of this? And like, how do I protect my license? I know you've done a lot of work around that, and like, you could do a whole episode just on that. But for, I guess, simplicity's sake, like, what should people know if that is one of their biggest concerns when it comes to like protecting of my license, the ethics of coaching and therapy? Like what should people know?
The first thing on a high level they should know is it's not as hard as you think it is. It's worth it. You can figure it out. And it's not an excuse to not add coaching. I feel like it's this big, daunting thing that we make out in our head. And rightfully so, because we worked really hard for our license.
Right.
And it's kind of like this ambiguous, unknown thing of like, can I do it? Can I not? How do I do it properly? Are the ethical gods going to come after me? Am I going to lose my license? It's this whole thing, right? And so then people just get so scared that they don't pursue their dreams. And that's what I don't want to happen. So first and foremost, it's doable. And there's just a few things that you need to do and have in place, and you're good to go. So, for example, you need to have a separate business entity. So, if you have your LLC for your private practice, you need to have a separate business entity for your coaching business, which means that you would have a separate bank account. Marketing gets a little nuancy. Basically, we don't want our clients to be confused. It's confusing for us to sometimes understand the difference between therapy and coaching. So, we don't want our clients to be confused. Sometimes maybe they want to get help under the umbrella of coaching, although I feel like the stigma has gotten better, when in reality, they really need to be treated for medical necessity. So, using your clinical discernment, do I need to treat them for medical necessity and I'm going to plop them in my private practice? Or is it this more situational, non-clinical, less severe problem, and they would be a good fit for my coaching business? Or rather, my coaching program, which makes it even easier to discern when you have a signature coaching program that's almost hyper niche. You know if they're a fit for that or not. Coaching contract, really important because we're still mandated reporters, and informed consent is still important because we're still held to our ethics. So as long as you have an attorney-approved coaching contract, provide that to all of my clients. You have a disclaimer, terms of condition, privacy policy on your website, you're good to go. You reach out to
Well,
your
I think
board, you have a paper trail, just let them know, like, hey, this is what I'm doing. Oftentimes they won't reply, but it's more about just kind of covering your butt. So there's like a small checklist of items that you have to do.
Well, and I think going back to something you said, because I see this so often in our field about like I do think we think there's like this ethics police that are just gonna like come out of the bushes and be like, you're doing something wrong, your license is gone, and like that's not how it works, and they're not hiding in the bushes. But I think so often, just fear in general, we use to hold us back, like you said, from pursuing these dreams. Oh, well, that sounds good. Oh, I wish I could do that. But you know, whether it's a fear of like, you know, I'm even aware of the fear, right? Like it's this internal belief of like, oh, I don't know that I could do that, right? Because it's a fear of what if I don't succeed or what if I get in trouble, right? There's just this fear in general. And I think I talk about this a lot on the show. Just I see this so common in women in general. We play small, we hold ourselves back because of this fear that I don't see men questioning themselves, right? Or like asking permission. They're like, I want to do this, I'm going after this dream. And so yeah, that we can do these things, right? If we have this passion to do something in addition to therapy, that the fear or the what ifs don't have to hold us back, right? Like we can get informed and be like, no, like you said, I just need to have these things, or I need to cross the T's and dot the I's to make sure I'm doing this in a way that it is ethical, but it doesn't have to be this like all or nothing that I don't do it at all because I'm scared. You know, but I can do it and do it in a way that I feel comfortable and confident about.
Yeah, and it's so fun and it's so rewarding. And I think to your point, there's a lot of undoing that we have to do, especially because of school and mental health and social work, that we're really taught don't self-disclose, don't be seen. And when you tap into the online coaching space, you know, I ask my clients to be seen in a way that they've never been seen before. So, being a therapist and having that kind of like brainwashing, and then being a woman on top of it's like double whammy. So, there's a lot of mindset work that goes into breaking out of that fear. But when you do, and you have those clients who are like, "Where have you been my whole world?" it's so rewarding.
We've all been told we need to network in our private practice, but no one actually tells us how to do it or what to say. Enter Comprehensive Connecting, effective scripts that expand your networking community and actually fill your online practice. This free guide will give you effective scripts to connect with fellow clinicians, medical professionals, and community stakeholders to build strong networking relationships that will help fill your practice. In this guide, you will get tips and tricks for building relationships that will lead to referrals in your practice, real-life examples of messages used to connect with referral sources, and customizable plug-and-send scripts for your specific practice needs. So download your free scripts guide today by going to bit.ly/compconnecting. As a therapist, business owner, and a mom, managing your business finances effectively is crucial. That's where Bank Novo comes in. Bank Novo isn't just a bank account, it's your partner in growth. With free checking and a range of features tailored to small businesses like yours, like no hidden fees or minimum balances, Bank Novo makes managing your finances simple and stress-free. But what truly sets Novo apart is its compatibility with the Simple Profit Method. Whether you're just starting out or looking to streamline your financial processes, Bank Novo seamlessly integrates with Simple Profit, helping you track expenses, managing invoices, and maximizing your profits effortlessly. And for listeners of this show, when you sign up for a free Bank Novo account at bit.ly/NovoAshley and enter the referral code AshleyComages, all one word, after making a $100 deposit, you'll receive $40 as a sign-up bonus. Yep, you heard that right, $40 just for taking control of your finances with Bank Novo. So fellow therapists, take the next step towards financial empowerment. Join me in choosing Bank Novo and unlock the financial tools you need to thrive in your practice. Do you find with the therapists that you help coach to become coaches, right? Like to start their own coaching programs. Are there therapy clients or therapy niches very similar to their coaching niches, or do you see more of like a separation that there's a very different kind of ideal client there?
It's a mixed bag because I find that some therapists were like me, where they were actually coaching the whole entire time in their quote unquote private practice. So then in that case, they would probably have a similar coaching niche. Mm-hmm. But I have other therapists who do maybe really heavy, deep trauma work, and they pick a lighter, which is such a breath of fresh air niche that is maybe more of even like a passion or a hobby or mixed together slash maybe something that they went through in their own life where you can't really share your story or self-disclose as much in therapy. Where in coaching, I feel like 90% of us are our own ideal client. Yeah. Story sells and people understand on a deeper level. They're like, wow, she gets it.
Do you find that there is, I don't know, a trick is not the right word, but like, how do people who are saying, okay, I don't want to just do therapy or I don't want to just do coaching. I want to do therapy and coaching. Mm-hmm. For the coach, how are they differentiating, again, what kind of hat or which business that they're operating in? How do you help them to figure that out?
Yes, it's a good question. It's a really common question. So thanks for asking. And I think that majority of people do have both private practice and coaching business. They just usually have the goal to reduce their clinical hours in their private practice, but they love their private practice and they love the work that they do. But because it can be so heavy, because there's, you know, sometimes cap on income or insurance, they want to spend more time with family, et cetera. Coaching is a breath of fresh air fun. Their coaching business really kind of becomes their baby. So when you have a coaching signature program, which is what I teach, you're hyper niche. You have a very specific population with a very specific burning problem. You're getting them very specific solution to this big outcome. It's much easier to use your clinical discernment. especially when that niche is solving those more situational, non-clinical, less severe problems. Plus, you're creating a curriculum around it. It's basically as if you're a teacher providing psychoeducation. Maybe you have a 3-month course to get anxious postpartum mom from problem to solution, versus in therapy, you might have someone who's having severe panic attacks, right? So it's about getting them on a consultation and using your clinical discernment. But it's also, not to confuse everyone who's listening, you don't have to be everyone's therapist. Somebody could have their own therapist and come into your coaching program. You don't have to treat them for medical necessity. I always use the example of I had a therapist turned coach who was working with women who were coming out of a domestic violence relationship, and she was helping them feel more confident to get back into the dating world. A lot of them had PTSD. She was not their therapist and she wasn't treating them for PTSD. They usually had their own therapist, or she was telling them to go get their own therapist, but they would come into her program to boost self-confidence and get back into the dating world. That more situational, non-clinical, less severe problem.
She's helping with something very specific, right? The like figuring out how do I feel confident, not just in general, right? But like specifically to go out and date and to have another romantic relationship, versus how do I deal with the trauma that I've experienced?
Right. And then they're following along with your 6 to 8 modules in your recorded course. And maybe you have one group coaching call a week where they're coming and asking you questions about what they're learning and implementing. They hit roadblock challenge. Maybe they had homework assignment. They love that they're in a community of other women who just get it and been through the same exact journey as them. So with this business model, it's also on top of, hyper niching and picking that situational non-clinical problem. And it's hard to go into treating medical necessity, even if you've tried with this business model.
Tell me a little bit more what you mean by that, where you say like it's hard to treat the medical necessity piece.
Because your time with them is more limited. You're in group coaching call. Let's say you have 1 to 2 group coaching calls a week that are Q&A. They're watching and listening to your curriculum. They're completing, like I said, if you have homework assignment or something, and then they're coming in asking you questions about where they got stuck.
You're not doing that depth work. You're not, you don't, and you don't
Exactly.
have this the right environment necessarily to even go that deep. Because like you said, if you're in a group, you're probably not doing that. And yeah, the questions you're asking, the things you're engaging with them on probably are not of, not that it's not of a clinical nature, right? Like, I'm worried or I feel anxious about doing this, putting myself
Yeah,
out
you
there, but
still
you're
talk
not.
about feelings and mental health, and you could talk about the past, and you could talk about the present, and you could talk about the future. But in this example, specifically, they would be talking about fear around dating or past relationships. You're not necessarily psychoanalyzing their childhood or
Now,
every single past relationship that they've been in. It's just different than therapy, which is something that they probably should have their own therapist for.
When someone, is coming to you, because I know you do help clinicians, venture into coaching. Do you find they already have this idea of like, okay, who do I want to coach, or what do I want this coaching to look like? Or is it more of like, I think this would be a great thing to do, but I don't even know where to get started? Because I'm thinking, for some people, there is, we'll call it like coaching curious, right? Where they're like, I like this idea. I really want to do this, but I don't know what I would do. Is that kind of the point at which you're tending to meet people, or do you find, no, they already have a general idea of what they're wanting to do by the time they kind of reach you to kind of maybe get some support around that?
Some people have a general idea. I would say 90% of the people fall into where you just said, like, they are coaching curious. They have this idea. They don't know if it's viable or marketable. They don't know if anybody's going to pay for it. They don't know if it passes the high ticket test. They don't know how to Mod Podge or wordsmith it all together. They just have maybe five different ideas, and we need to do a process of elimination, and we need to soundboard and workshop it together. Or they come in and they think they know what they want to do, and then they start following my niece trainings and start doing market research, and they end up switching it. That happens often too.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite things to help with.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's encouraging that, like, I think sometimes people think we have to have stuff figured out before we start, like, doing it, but that, no, you may have an idea or not fully have an idea, but you don't have to, like, know what's gonna, like, know where the road's gonna go before you start venturing into, like, looking at this other option.
Yeah. I mean, usually we have a difficult time figuring it out because we're used to solving every problem under the sun and morphing into whoever is in front of us. And that's a good problem to have. It's not like you can't figure it out because you don't have enough experience. It's quite the opposite. So it's having the confidence in yourself that you will be able to figure it out with guidance, and you have enough expertise to pull from, and staying focused on the vision for yourself and how much freedom and flexibility and security tapping into this different business model and coaching could provide. And is it worth it to take a leap of faith, even though I don't have it all figured out, with the confidence that I can figure it out?
Yeah. Yeah. Again, going back to that fear part, right? That, like, does the fear hold you back? Or is it, yeah, I don't know what this is going to be, but, like, okay, I'm going to figure it out. Like, I'm going to let that propel me forward rather than hold me kind of stagnant in place.
Yeah. I always say, like, fear is, like, everybody says, like, fuck everything and run, right? Or you can face everything and rise.
Yeah.
And when I heard that somewhere, I was like, wow, that is just so beautiful, right? Like, we can choose to be inspired or intimidated. And I think that when we look at other coaches in the industry, because it is a saturated industry, it's a $20 billion industry, that fear really does come in. Like, is there room for me? Can I actually do this? Wow, somebody is already doing it better and they have more following and they've been doing it longer. Like, the clientele that would come to me would just go to them instead. So why should I start?
Yeah.
And you just get all in your head and you don't actually move forward.
Yeah. Well, and I always tell people, I think, because you hear that with people, whether it's in therapy practice or in coaching or, you know, some other side hustle of, like, well, again, why would somebody work with me? Because so-and-so is already doing it. And it's because they want to work with you, right? Like, whatever your program is or whatever your practice is, they're coming to you because of who you are and what you have to offer. You know, you could have two people doing the exact same treatment modality or coaching program, but it's going to be different because one style is going to be different than the other. And there's just people that one is going to resonate with and the other won't.
Exactly. Yeah. No one can do what you do, how you do it. Nobody has a personality.
Yeah.
Nobody has your story. You are not everybody's cup of tea and you're not supposed to be. I mean, I'm not the only business coach for therapists, but I do it differently and I have a different personality. And, like, you know, there's room for everyone. I think that this is where an abundance mindset really comes into play. Like, you look outside, or I'm looking at my desk right now, like, there's stuff everywhere. Like, there's, like, a million leaves on the trees and there's, like, a million blades of grass and water never runs out and air. Like, there's just enough for everyone to go around. There is room for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Many of our listeners are women and moms. And I think one of the things I'm a big advocate of is time freedom, flexibility, and autonomy. And those who are moms really need that, especially just because of kids. But I think in general, women, whether we have children or not, a lot of times we do fall into like caregiver roles. And, you know, I'm not saying that's a good or a bad thing, but like whether it is we're in that sandwich generation and we're caring for aging parents or grandparents or, you know, younger children or nieces or nephews, that a lot of times we just need more flexibility. And I'm curious how you see coaching as either a benefit or in support of that, that this is just a value that I think is so important and that I think so many of us want and need.
Yeah. I think most people start a coaching business to have freedom, right? Yes, it's to impact lives, and you can do both, but building a business is to have that lifestyle of freedom, flexibility, and security. It's one of the main drivers in my own business. So my mission is very driven in helping therapists beat burnout and helping them unapologetically make more money. And this was my lived story, but my vision for my own life is when I do have my own kids, to have that freedom and flexibility. And I got a glimpse of it in my private practice, but then it wasn't enough. And I was like, how can I have more freedom? And I did think and future pace myself to when I am a mother, this is not going to work. This is not going to be sustainable. So how do I build a sustainable business? And it is in this coaching business way where you're not trading dollars for hours. You are in the one-to-many model, the group model, where you do have recorded content and curriculum where you could be with your kids on vacation or at the gym or getting your nails done, and your clients can be learning from you. You think about how many times we repeat ourselves in one-to-one sessions where you're like, gosh, I just said that like 2 hours ago or yesterday. Like, I wish if my client could just like watch a recording on that. They can, right? So working smarter, not harder, and being able to also take money up front instead of, well, insurance is a whole nother conversation, sometimes a nightmare, but when you're trading dollars for hours, like only getting paid after, if and when they show up versus taking thousands of dollars for a 3 month program up front, getting that commitment, because the client is also going to get better results because they're going to show up.
They're invested financially.
They're invested. People pay attention when they pay. So also delegating, hiring a team. Because it is, I'm not the mentor and coach who's like, this is easy peasy, rainbows and butterflies, because it's a lot of work. It is way harder than building a private practice, I will tell you that. There's so much to learn. But once it's set up, I mean, the foundational stages of anything is difficult to build. I mean, you think back to when you were building your private practice and you're like, oh my gosh, I have no idea what I'm doing. There's so many floating pieces. And then you're just in the groove. But if I were to compare the two, I would say that building an online coaching business is definitely a lot more floating pieces. And again, going back to the fear and visibility, you're putting yourself out there in much different ways. You're learning like social media marketing, and it's just a lot. But once it's built and you're in kind of like the growth and the scale phases, and you have a few team members underneath of you, and you hire revenue drivers, so you can hire somebody like a virtual assistant who can do tedious tasks that would take up your time so you can focus on getting more clients and driving revenue, or you can hire a sales team to help you drive more clients while you do the other task, right? Or you can have both, like a virtual assistant doing kind of admin work for you and a sales team, which is what I have, where you can really focus on your business instead of being in your business. That's the ultimate goal. So it takes a while to get there, but it's worth it.
Well, I was going to ask, like, there may be people listening who they either have a side hustle or a coaching, you know, business that's a part of their portfolio, let's say, you know, of revenue streams. I'm curious, are there certain metrics that you encourage people to consider when you're talking about, like, yeah, bringing on additional people? Because I think, you know, to your point, I think you worded it like revenue stream kind of additives, right? So, like, somebody who's going to be helping with bringing in more money because of the tasks that they're accomplishing, how do you know when it's time to add that to your business? Because I think there can be a fear of bringing people on, or else we hire like a bunch of people or a person, but maybe we weren't financially quite prepared yet for that. Like, do you have certain metrics to consider in exploring adding that, you know, somebody onto your team?
It's a good question. I don't know that's necessarily metrics, but I'll put everything into perspective. So, first off, a virtual assistant you can get for $10 an hour. So, a lot of the tedious online admin operational task that could maybe take you hours to do, a VA probably knows how to do it much faster and maybe better than you do. Would it be worth $10 to just take that off your plate? I think sometimes we can make it out to be a scarier thing than it is, thinking like we're going to hire somebody and have to fork out thousands of dollars when we don't have that in our business. And that's not the truth. And again, that time can free up time where you can be doing other things. So it's double whammy in the best way. You're going to be double, triple productive. When we talk about hiring a sales team, you can hire a commission-based person on your team who can help you get more booked calls, and they'll get 5% commission if you close the sale. Only if you close the sale. That's one of the smartest hires you can make in your business. So you're not really forking out a lot of money. They're only helping you double and triple your revenue and buy back your freedom. I've made wrong hires. I mean, not wrong, but they weren't the smartest revenue driving hires, I would say, such as hiring a social media person way too soon. Like, social media is the very first baby step to actually getting a paying client, right? But maybe it's tedious and it's taking up your time, or you don't necessarily know so much about it or enjoy it. And so you hire somebody out, but what's the ROI? Are you getting a return by having them post? It's not even authentically in your voice. So maybe it's actually hurting you
Yeah,
double,
that's true.
because it could be repelling people and you're wasting money. So I think that there's definitely an order of operations when it comes to hiring and delegating in a smart way so that you can continue to buy back your freedom.
So where do you see as like that first hire then being in a VA?
A VA or a setter. A setter is the person on the sales team that's 5% commission.
And it's interesting because I've never heard of, like, you know, you hear like salespeople in, you know, other areas, other businesses, and, you know, having commission, but I've never even heard of or thought of that in this realm. And that totally makes sense, right? That if these are people that you trust and that you know are going to be communicating the appropriate message, that like that's where you don't have to be the one doing all the sales calls, right? Or all the, you know, initial consults, that kind of thing, that somebody else is able to do that, and that is absolutely revenue generating for you and for them then.
So you can have, I have a sales team at five. I have a virtual assistant, marketing manager, et cetera, et cetera. But you get to the point, which is a great problem to have when your coaching business takes off, that it's a bottleneck that you can't take consult calls anymore because you have so many of them, right? Or you're having so many DM conversations or email interests that you can't pre-qualify and screen everyone or have conversations. So that's where you have your setters who have the DM conversations, who then set the appointment onto the closer's calendar. And then your closers are the one who take the actual sales call itself. And this way, also, you can really step away from your business where you could be on vacation and the setters are booking appointments and the closers are closing them, and you're hands off and you're still driving revenue in your business.
No, it's such an interesting model that like it works in other businesses. So like why wouldn't we apply it to this type of business as well? And again, it's only going to help give you more of that time, freedom, and flexibility because you're generating that income, you have that revenue stream, but it doesn't require you to be in that chair one-on-one with that client.
And of course, it takes a little while to train them up. And
Sure.
there's even fears that come with that. Is it going to
Sure.
come across the same? Like, are they going to
Right.
get mad that it's not me? Is it, how are they going to represent my business with integrity and the correct way? But once you train them up and they're smooth sailing, that's when it's really rewarding and worth it, and you can be hands off.
For those that are listening who are saying, okay, maybe I want to like again step my foot, dip my toe into kind of this coaching world. Where do you recommend they go first? Where would be a good place for them to start in kind of connecting with you?
My therapist to coach accelerator Facebook group, I would say, is a wealth of knowledge. I have tons of free trainings and resources and cheat sheets and guides in that group. So, I mean, there's thousands of therapists in there. It's also just a community of like-minded therapists who are on this journey, or as you call it, coaching curious. I think I might have to steal that as well. So the Therapist to Coach Accelerator Facebook group, and you can find me on Instagram at Carly Hill Coaching.
And you also have, I know, a bunch of like free resources on your website as well, too. I
I
think you have a
do.
link that we will have in the show notes. Any like highlight of ones that maybe people should check out?
There's so many. Also, my book. I didn't even think about that,
Oh,
but
yes. Tell us about your book.
That would be probably the first place to start, because this is the true wealth of knowledge. I don't know if we're actually on video right now, but the Therapreneur book.
Yes, I've seen this on different social media channels for sure.
It's a therapist guide to 3x your income. So it goes over everything from protecting your license, figuring out your niche, creating your offer, marketing in the online space. That's what I call my modern marketing master plan, mindset, sales, money mindset. It goes over it all. So that's what I would recommend as well. And you can get that on my website, carlyhillcoaching.com.
And we'll have all of that linked in the show notes for listeners to definitely check out. I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with me and to really kind of just share just a tad bit of the information and knowledge that you have. I feel like we've just skimmed the surface and there's so much more here, obviously, but really appreciate you taking the time and I know that listeners will get so much from this.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to the Raise to Empower podcast. Check the show notes for all links and resources mentioned in the show. If you found today's episode helpful or inspiring, be sure to share it with your therapist friends. And don't forget to subscribe to the show and leave your 5-star rating and review. It truly means so much to me and will help us get our message of empowerment out to other women and mom clinicians. And I'd love to connect with you in our Facebook community. So check out the show notes for the link or head to bit.ly/raise to empower to join us. I'll see you back here next week.